the idea when I did it was cars that are cheap to buy, mm-hmm. and then we can make them look cool. And
I'm
then
surprised you found one.
We found a mint one.
Really?
Minty mint.
Marketplace right now.
So somebody really liked it.
He does. So I take it apart for you.
Actually, I can say you liked it. It's going to be in printed in magazines. It's already been online. It's Bob Florian from ARP owns it. He liked the artwork and said, let's build that. Mm-hmm. We're going to unveil it at SEMA along with the other car that we've been working on forever. Joe Rogan's Nova, which many people saw a couple of years ago on the cover of Hot Rod in bare metal.
Yes.
It's got all the 69 F-body sheet metal on the side. A lot of work on that car. Just finally got color on the thing. And
what color is it?
It is a color called Atomic Silver from Lexus. Okay. It's a very pretty color. Joe's color choice is silver on a lot of things, so he chose color. That's that. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be huffing and puffing to bring that car done to SEMA. We'll have it in the Dynamet booth.
Hey, welcome to Car Guy Confessions, brought to you by ARP. I'm Jeff Smith. This is my car buddy Cam Bente and car builder Steve Strope, and we're going to tell you some stories.
Welcome to Car Guy Confessions with Jeff Smith. I'm my friend Cam Bente, Steve Strope, car builder extraordinaire. We're going to tell you some stories. So it's happening out there. Crazy stuff is going on.
Yes, yes. We've experienced a lot of interesting things.
We were
things.
Talking about, on the drive down here, the rumor of the day.
Yes, so, Corvette. This is a connection at the Corvette Museum, so point that direction. That the
away from us.
That's exactly. That the 2023-4 Corvette will have all-wheel drive and hybrid drivetrain.
Hybrid.
Pretty,
how about that?
So exciting. Which still, they should have had all-wheel drive anyway, you know, 30% on the front, something like that would have been a nice way to make it even better handling. I mean, it's got plenty of power. And honestly, it's already got the back half's all handled. I mean, you got an engine, you got a rear-wheel drive, all that. But obviously, everybody's going towards the hybrid thing. You know, the NSX had the hybrid drivetrain. Porsche's doing the same thing. Ferrari's doing the same thing. They're all going that direction with hybrid drivetrains.
Yeah.
So, shock, no.
Right.
But,
right.
How soon? 23, 24 is what I'm hearing.
But so the Corvette purists are probably just, you know, going apoplectic about right now. But that's really where we're going. Yeah. And part of this is, as we were talking about on the way down here, that, you know, internal combustion research in Detroit is probably all but dead.
Right.
I mean, you know, or whatever they're doing is just to maintain what they're generating. But if everybody, the whole talk about it is electric and all this other stuff, and we've talked about that, and we know the fallacy to the whole thing. But the point is that they've bought into it.
Yeah.
They think that the public has bought into it. And so there's no reason now. And a lot of it has to do with, so the performance guys right now are also going apoplectic. So we're just pissing everybody off now.
Well, Mercedes in 2030, Mercedes will be
all electric.
All electric.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just U.S. It's not just any of these things.
And, you know? And so you look at, you know, what's going on, it's like, well, where are we? Well, it's really being driven, I think, a big portion of it is because the government is saying, well, we need, what is CAFE now, 37 miles
it's
per
up
gallon
there.
Or whatever it is, and they're selling nothing but big, giant trucks. How are you going to generate a CAFE standard? You're going to have to have something with 70 miles per gallon to be able to offset your truck that can barely do 21, 22. And so there's no easy way out of that conundrum except to go electric, because then and I've seen the conversions, and I've never really sat down. It would be fun to actually do the math and try and figure out how this works. I'll have to have somebody that's much smarter than me figure this out, but it always looks to me like the E mile per gallon thing is heavily weighted towards electric vehicles to make them look good.
Right.
So the government's even going to say, sure, cheat it the other way because it makes them look good and that's what we want.
Well, they're also dealing with the devil here. You look at the situation surrounding the Ford truck, which we've talked about in the past, and the question obviously of whether 230 mile range is enough for an electric truck that's empty, you know, it doesn't have anybody in it. But now they're like I said, they're cutting deals with the devil. In order to get that Ford truck to work, Ford just announced that they had a $400 million investment by a hedge fund in New Jersey. All parts of that statement are pretty dicey. So, now they're making cuts with that, and then now GM is suing Ford over their driver assist programs that they stole the technology and renamed it. So now Ford and GM are fighting each other too in court.
Great.
So there's a lot of crap going on, and it's a mess. You know?
So let's come back to the C8 for a second because it's kind of interesting. You know, if you look at what was happening in, let's say, the the you know prototypes, Le Mans prototypes. Those are hybrid vehicles. Gasoline. Right. You look at the Audis and then the Toyotas later that were just rocket ships. You watch the video of the 24-hour of Le Mans, and these cars come off the corner. They're already going stupid fast. The video slows everything down, right? So you're watching the shot coming out of the windshield, and the thing just rockets off the corners, and it's the electric. Drive part drive. Of it, the all-wheel drive, it just shoots them off the corner. They're going so fast. Yeah. So from a technology standpoint, it's like, well, think about how badass the C8 already is.
Right.
And now we're going to talk about something that come off the corners another 20-30% better because now you're pulling with the front tires but with 30% and that allows you, now it's going to be heavier. There's no two ways around that. But at the same time, this thing's going to be a rocket. It's already beyond the capability of most people's ability to drive really fast. And now you got something that's even faster. Mm-hmm. You know, like, ooh. You know, so it's like, I remember, well, this is probably 15 years ago, they brought the new Corvette, whatever, that would have been, what, 96, something like that? Uh-huh. And
That was the break, yeah.
So I think it was C5. I'm not going to try and do the math. Yeah. So I think it was...
Got rid of the C4s and they brought
it was a C5. And the C5. And they took us to Mid Ohio. And you know, went out for a couple laps and they said, do you want to have our test driver take you for a lap? Oh, yeah. So let's see just how slow I really am. Oh, my God. You know, so I'm just, you know, I'm like, you know, grandma driving into the corner. He's going, no, just charge the corner. You know, I'm about to hit the brakes. No, wait, now. And then just turn in, the car goes, and it was like, do that again, right? Do that again. And so these cars are already so much better than we are as drivers. So then now the level just becomes even greater. So, but
They found another way to make money on this deal. They're sending people to schools. Like,
yes.
You know, the Broncos. If you get a Bronco, you can go to the Bronco school. Jeep's Raptor.
Jeep's been doing it.
With and those are great.
Yeah, when those I was involved with Chrysler back in about 97, 96, 97, 98. I don't know how old Camp Jeep is, but it's been around a long time, and it's actually a really cool deal. It's fantastic, and it is amazing what a stock Rubicon can go to.
Can do.
Oh,
unbelievable. You're like, my car can do that? It's like, yeah, you just suck. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, and again, it all comes back to being able to get all that effort out of the vehicle itself, even with all the technology, because people think, well, you know, with that active suspension, that just makes me a better driver. It does, but that doesn't mean you're a race car driver. Right. You're not Ayrton Senna, you know.
I want to touch on this whole thing about the electric cars, in my opinion, coming into vogue. Because I look at this not only as the business owner in air quotes, the mime of insincerity.
Oh, I put you in that category.
but also as an enthusiast and who's someone, I have a rather raised eyebrow at everything when it becomes ridiculously popular, especially with, what's the words I wish to choose? Those of you who are unfamiliar with the movie Hollywood Nights, go look it up, and there's a scene. Our main hangout, which is called Tubby's Drive-In, it's going to be closed. It's going to be knocked down to make way for a mall or something. And the kids that are cruising around there go, This is courtesy of the Beverly Hills Asshole Society. And so when I see stuff like this, my brain separates it. It's like the electric stuff. Theoretically, its position is to be better for the environment and the world. Let our grandkids have bunnies and eagles and fresh fish in the ocean and everything else. The reality, or the partial, I'll be careful, the partial reality that none of them want to admit to is, as of now, there's always learning curves. As of now, making those cars is caustic, and no one's got anything, no answer what to do with all the discarded batteries in the next 10 years.
I don't know if you ever saw the story, I'm pretty sure 60 Minutes did it, on the Japanese battery the company.
Right. But
I'm not Japanese, the
everyone
Chinese.
Everyone ignored that.
And there's like a 10-mile radius around this plant that everything is dead. everything. It looks like the moon.
Right. But and everyone here ignored
lithium, that. That's your lithium battery plant,
because
right there.
Not mine.
Yeah.
So all the feel good. I'll just use the insulting term yuppies that all want to feel good about themselves by buying their Prius, and then they all sit in the diamond lanes. Stop it. For yeah. one, just get yeah. the. Well, out of the diamond lane.
Anyway, lanes. Anyway, so what the heck?
Anyway, they ignore that because none of them want to, in my opinion, disrupt their. You can send your hate mail below. By the way, I'll read all of it, which I won't read any of it.
I'm not going to get it from our viewers. No, it's going to be the know. People that don't watch
I,
this.
I believe it or not, as opinionated as I am, I try to be open minded with it, but I'm like, there's a whole lot of negatives, and nobody wants to admit to it because everybody wants the feel good feeling.
Well, it's all being politically correct.
Thank you. Yeah. And the PC to me is a short 4-letter word. Mm. I think it's the most disgusting thing that is, and another in vogue thing to happen that every political party, either side, every manufacturer, everybody lives in fear. Every lawyer group is like, we can't do that. Oh my goodness, you'll upset the. Fill in the blank. Right. I personally don't care about upsetting anybody because, you know, grab a pair. I mean, really, you know, just freaking stop worrying about. Here's what you worry about yourself. Yeah. Be a good human. Be a good person.
Right. Do your own bit to clean up.
You don't have to worry about what he just said over there. It's none of your business what he said over there. You know what? You just worry about you and your house. You know,
exactly.
keep your porch clean. And so anyway, I'm babbling horrible. Yeah. But what it frustrates me or where I am in the separation is. I'll give it the possible the electric car is off to a rocky start with me because I know the ugly other side. I choose to maybe because of my high performance V8 gasoline burning bent that I choose to go, oh yeah, that's not as picture perfect as you, the rest of the world thinks it is. But maybe in 20, 30 years, it gets rid of fossil fuels and it actually is the savior. Let's say there's that potential. Mm-hmm. Great. But what really annoys me is, and you touched on it, it's like one of you two just said everybody's following suit. Everyone's now raising the flag. In another 10 years, we'll be rid of these horrible V8 engines or these gas-turning, gas-burning engines. And we are giving you the world what we think you want. Why? Because you'll buy it. Why? Because it'll keep our stockbrokers in the black.
Right, right.
Did I just say that?
Yeah.
Is this money motivated? I mean, the whole thing is so I want to wring their necks. It's like you don't care about bunnies. You don't care about grass. You know, you just want to keep selling vehicles that people get in.
Here's what I think. Here's what I think. You know, and we want to roll out my crystal ball, right? And I told you earlier today. I said, so my crystal ball is not very good because I'm the guy that said, yeah, that Viper concept car. They'll never build it. They'll never build it.
Yeah.
Right. So. Having said that, I think what's going to happen is all this discussion right now is either or.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Right? We got gasoline right now. It's horrible. It's nasty. Right. And from an efficiency standpoint, we talked about this on the way out here, it is horribly efficient. For those of you who've never really looked at the physics of the whole thing, an internal combustion engine is not even 30% efficient. So when you take a pound of fuel, pick one, E85, nitromethane, doesn't matter. Gasoline, we'll choose gasoline because it's simple. It generates X amount of BTUs per pound of fuel. You combust it in an internal combustion engine with the best combustion chamber process that you can come up with. At best, you're going to do 30%. And really, most engines aren't even there. So what happens to the other 70? Well, 35% of it goes out the tailpipe as heat, and the other 35% of it goes into the cooling system, which is also heat, which is just pushed out and dumped. So there's 70% of our heat that we got from that pound of gasoline that now we can't use. Now, a turbocharger helps recover some of that, so now small displacement engines with a exhaust-driven turbocharger, we can start to recapture another 5, 7, 8, 10%, whatever it is. Maybe it's more now. I don't know. But the point is, so they aren't very efficient. But where they are really good at is energy density. So now we have this pound of fuel that will get me 25 miles, 30 miles, 35 miles down the road. And the power from that electric battery, we pull it back out. We get it to move down the road, and for the pound of battery that we have, it doesn't get us very far. And that's the problem. So if it fixes it, ultimately, the shining star is that I think it's not going to be either or. It's going to be a mixture of both. Well, that's usually what's going to make it work.
That's what we try to do. Two quick things. One of the things is I went to dinner with a friend of mine who is a chairman of the engineering department at a major California university. And I asked him very quickly, because he's working on transformers and all kinds of electrical devices. And the bottom line is, I said, so are we going to be able to charge these things? I mean, we talk about the fact that we have brownouts and blackouts. Yeah. Something we've talked about in the past. And his answer was very quickly, no, we're not going to be able to charge them all, especially if we go that direction. And the other thing that I ran into is I went to an introduction for BMW. They have an iX, which is an SUV, and an i4, which is a sedan, electric vehicles. The iX, which is an SUV, is $83,000. Mm. I was looking at different cars. I mean, a 3-series Tesla with 70,000 miles on it is still $40,000. I mean, we're talking about some very expensive cars that if you got, I mean, obviously the used car market has gone crazy. It's completely stupid. But the fact of the matter is with these vehicles, you don't have anything. You can put a lot of gasoline in a car for $83,000 in an SUV. I mean, seriously. Unless you buy that Lamborghini that we saw the other day, the Lamborghini SUV, which I can't understand. It's like, what the shit was that?
It's awesome.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But did anybody ask for it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't ask for it.
No.
I didn't
ask for it.
It's like a 4-door Aston Martin.
So. I'll just handle this. So specific people in front of us want you to speak better into your microphone.
Right in there. I'll move it this way. There we go. Thank you. So that's right. Where's the flashlights?
Like two syllables.
That's right. Where are the flashlights?
set a give, right?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Set a give?
There we go. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Excellent.
It.
Excellent.
That means I need a Snickers bar on
that
third
means
base.
Steal second. That's what that means.
Slide.
Meanwhile, the guy behind the board's going,
the third barrier or something like that.
Question the third wall.
There are men behind the camera. Oh, my God. Right.
And you didn't have to pay for any of this.
No.
This is entertainment that you can have.
Yes.
So one of the things I like to do is always assemble an engine with ARP bolts, and it's not just because they're sponsors, but because it really does work. And the stuff is fantastic. I never have to worry about it. Steve, you building cars too.
Yeah, right? Actually, it's part of my baseline design plan when I'm building a car that's going to be shown or featured in a magazine. It's part of the plan to have that little bit of diamonds all over the engine bay or in the suspension.
Yeah, the stuff is beautiful. I remember a long time ago, I built the first time I ever touched it, 69 Z28, all of the water jacket holes had stripped out, and I learned about ARP studs.
So check them out at arp-bolts.com or check out their catalog. You'll find everything you're looking for.
We'd like to thank one of our main sponsors that's been with us for a long time, Alden American Shocks. They make a coilover shock that is very impressive. You have them on your Chevelle.
Yeah, I got a set on my Chevelle. Yeah. We did a little Jeff Smith's Garage video.
And very cool looking. I mean, with the chrome exterior, excellent looking. And you can get them different finishes as well.
And single and double adjustables.
The adjustability, that's what I was just going to say, is the key ingredient here, because you've got something that can be tuned to improve the suspension and ride for that.
And ride quality.
And ride height. So very simple.
Yeah, you can also adjust the ride height. Yeah, exactly.
All very good.
Any coilover.
But anyway, so go take a look at AldenAmerican.com. And if you use the code CARGUY10, you'll get 10% off.
Yeah, that's even better.
Even better.
Yeah. See, it pays to watch the show.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, stuff is changing so fast. And it's tough. Now, see, I have a difficulty because for a while, a company called EMS Emission Systems loaned me a 5-gas analyzer. I just now had to, I cried, I shed a couple tears, I had to send it back. But he loaned me this 5-gas analyzer. You think, well, who cares, right? It's like, well, actually, really interesting stuff about what comes out of the tailpipe and how you tune the motor based on the result of combustion. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. So I'm tuning my buddy's big block El Camino, right? You know, and we just put a sniper system on it. And it's like, the emissions are just hideous. I mean, it's awful. It's not catalyzed or anything like that. So it's just right out of the tail, right out of the exhaust. And we got 1,500 parts per million at idle. And it's like, I can't make it any leaner. I lean the engine out and it goes up, which means it's now going into misfire. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I got it down to maybe 1,250, you know, maybe it was a little less than that, but it's got a camshaft in it. It's got a little bit of compression. And this is also an old school open chambered big block.
Okay.
Right. Which that chamber was probably designed in 1969, you know, which is
probably earlier,
a few years ago.
Yeah.
So we've moved way beyond that now. It would have been fun to do a test where we take, well, let's take a, you know, an uncatalyzed LS that's more or less stock and look at what seat that is, and it's going to be substantially better, substantially better. So the point is that it is important to get the emissions down because all this stuff is critical. I don't know how much the carbon is, you know, count and all that CO2. I don't know how much that's really, how critical that really is, but it's important to understand it, you know, and it's just to take a stand that says, well, you know, you shouldn't outlaw hot rods. Like, well, we need to be aware of all this stuff because we don't really know where the world is going, and it could very well be that we might be the outlaws on the road, right? In a few years, you know, when everybody's driving electric cars.
I'm sorry. You ever get any customers that come and say, hey, can you build something with a hybrid motor in it and do a combination thing?
Whisperings and stuff like that.
Not loud,
like, as a hybrid?
Yeah, or taking what seems to be starting to be in vogue is taking like a wrecked Tesla, taking the whole drivetrain. I know of a couple of guys that are doing...
And put it like what, in like a Cobra
or
something like that?
No, or putting it in a whatever.
Like a just,
or like in a Porsche.
Yeah, a Porsche?
Yeah.
This is from the Peterson Museum. They're giving away an EV 912.
A 1969 Porsche that they've converted to electric power.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So visually, it looks like a 69 Porsche.
Well, it's an improvement over a 912.
But now you can drive it into your estate in Beverly Hills and feel okay.
Yeah.
Did I say that way too?
Yeah. A lot of sarcasm. And you know what? It's that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like
I
this.
Know I'm, I am
now the
being
Porsche people are probably
kind of
going.
A prick.
Well, I'm going
and I would be slightly.
Yeah.
Chagrined, let's say I'm a Chevelle guy, if somebody decided, hey, let's do this on a 65 Chevelle. It's like, well, why?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you really want to drive that older car but feel good about what you're doing, it's like, well, there's not really anything wrong with that, is there?
No.
No.
If you own the vehicle and that's what you want to do to
that's how you want to modify
it, that's what you want. You know, I could write a pamphlet on the atrocities visually I've seen done to muscle cars and hot rods.
Yes.
And they're running a good old gasoline-burning V8, and some of those guys should be like, are you blind when you built that car?
So violating your delicate sensibilities.
That's it.
Yeah. So that thing actually looks like a really nice 911.
It does.
So,
it is.
Okay, at least it doesn't insult me visually. Yeah. And you know what?
Also,
what's the difference between a 911 and a 912?
This had a pushrod motor in it, and it was what? Was it a 6? 912?
Oh,
and it's a pushrod motor. It's not. The 911s were the cool ones. The 912s were a lot closer to the VWs. You know, honestly. Oh, okay. Honestly, 912 was not a great car.
They didn't destroy a very valuable Porsche.
Yeah, but it looks great.
But you know what? These cars, if you have a fully restored 912, I'm sure it's
right now
50
Porsches
grand.
Are hot. Even though
it's slow as hell.
So this has a Tesla.
Like T alone is bringing good
powertrain. Yeah, right. Which you can buy and stuff.
I've got one
just
that's coming
anything.
In the shop. So the guy who bought it originally, I've got a 71 911 T coming in, and he's got the original everything for it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And that they're doing very decent. RS.
Does he want to hot rod it?
Right.
No. He wants it back.
Restore.
He wants to change the color and a couple of other things. He wants, well, hot rodding being little tweaks here and there underneath the skin. Yeah. He doesn't want anything crazy. Yeah. He doesn't want to, you know, do a twin turbo motor or anything.
Do a Golf Porsche
remake? No, he doesn't.
Remake? Okay.
No, he
doesn't.
So the other big news that just came out today, and again, as California goes, so goes the rest of the country, is the California Air Resources Board and the BAR announced that as of last Monday, two weeks ago.
Sometime in the past.
Yeah. Sometime in the past, recent past.
Some past, sometime
that
in
they
the
said,
recent past.
You know, now, because California does it. Biannual inspection maintenance program. So every 2 years you have to bring your vehicle in and they're supposed to sniff it.
Except on new cars, you know that?
Except on new cars, you don't have to. Is it 6 years?
Six years.
I thought it was five. Six years? Okay.
There you go.
So they're going to do is they're going to say if you've tweaked this thing, if you've put a tune in it.
In the computer.
In the computer. And it is not EO'd, In other words, EO stands for executive order. So California will give you, they don't give it to you, you earn it, an executive order for a modification to an emission-controlled vehicle. If they give you an EO, now you can legally sell this component as a 50-state legal component. If you have an EO for that tune, then you are blessed and you are okay, and you will exit the test unscathed. But if your tune is not EO'd, you immediately fail, and then they make you go put the stock tune back in it so that you can now be blessed.
But they won't let you register the vehicle.
They won't let you register it
so
otherwise.
So that's the big deal
that's,
here.
That's the leverage that they use on
you. You've got a situation where the vehicle now can't be registered, so now it can't be driven on the street.
Right.
And the other part that goes on with the EOs, I mean, the EOs are, we know how clear they are. They're very well explained. We know what it is. But these smog stations don't always know what's going on. And then when they're doing these discussions, you know, the fact that it's got an EO order, I've had some of them that have no idea what you're talking about. They plug it in and that's it. They got no idea what goes on from
there. Now what's happened is there's actually two levels to inspection maintenance test stations. There's the normal test stations and then there's the star stations. And if they think you're some kind of, you know, terrorist, then you emission related terrorist, then they make you go to a star station. So for a while I had that old 93 Chevy truck, and the state decided, they actually did two things a number of years ago. They decided that their testing showed, and this is how their direction is somehow counterintuitive. Initially they said, oh well, the Chevrolet emission standards that they give out for those vehicles, they were throttle body 305s mainly. Right? So 305 small block Chevy, which is not a great engine to begin with, but their numbers that Chevrolet or GM gave them, they decided were too high. So the state arbitrarily changed it. And I know this because I keep track of all my records on my vehicles, and my standards changed from 1 2-year test to the next. It just changed. The numbers went lower, which means it was much tougher to pass. What they're really trying to do is get rid of those vehicles. They don't want them here. So then they decided that wasn't good enough because those trucks, you know, probably every gardener in the state's using a truck like that. So they didn't like that. So now they're telling me, up until a couple of years ago when I sold it to John McGann, who still has a truck and is still alive and is still running.
What's he do for a living?
The editor of an obscure West Coast publication.
Hopefully it'll be going by the time this comes out.
Let's hope so. Let's hope the hot rod survives. That's a whole other topic that we probably shouldn't go down that road because...
That's a rough one.
I can tell you what it would be. It would be like, you know, it would coming from me, it would be immediately tagged as disgruntled ex-employee, right? So we'll go from that.
You have a shirt like that, don't you?
It says disgruntled ex-employee. So what they did was they said, we're just gonna lower the standards and now make me go to a star station. Now they're making it even harder to do this testing. So this is just another drop in the bucket of what's going on to try and tighten this all up, get rid of all those, God forbid, that you have an emission control vehicle that doesn't really generate some decent standards, and it's counter to where we want to go, because we've mentioned this before, that the state of California wants to no longer sell internal combustion engines after 2035. I seriously doubt that's going to happen. I think that they're thinking, because we have what are called flex alerts out here. I mean, we hear it now. We're in the heat of summer, right? So they're telling us conserve your electricity.
How are we going to plug in and charge all those?
How are we going to do that? Now the other side of the coin is this wonderful lady that lives across the street from me. You know, her husband passed away a number of years ago, and she
has a pacemaker.
Yes. And it's very cool. So all of a sudden, and she's not into cars at all, and she was driving some little Honda, and all of a sudden, bam, she's got solar panels on her roof. And she goes out and buys a Volt. It's like, so I talked to her. I said, this is interesting. And she says, well, my theory is that I can generate enough electricity that I never have to put gasoline in my little Volt. And then I'm saving the planet. I'm doing my contribution to saving the planet. It's like, that's kind of cool. Yeah. What she didn't know was that the gasoline engine is still going to start up and run, because you can't leave that gas in there for 10 years. Even in a pressurized system, it's not going to survive.
Right.
But, and the gasoline engine needs to run. Because they're not happy if they don't. So there's a compromise here, and I think, like I said, you know, doesn't right. It's probably not going to be either or.
Right.
It's not like in 2035 the never world's going to come to an end.
It's never yeah. all or nothing. Yeah. So anyway, but what are you working on there, Steve? Give me something happy.
I don't know. Yeah. Happy this whole topic is so frustrating to me because there's so much more going on than the face value of we're going to protect the planet.
Right. Of course.
You know, just because I'm sure I've come across on this particular episode as not really a friend of this movement. And I'm all for whatever works, but I really have a real hard problem when everybody jumps on board because it's the new hip
yeah.
or the new
yeah.
wonderful. Yeah. And I just roll my eyes because none of them know the real truth about, and I don't either. And everyone just follows on board, and then everybody starts waving the flag for this one thing, whatever it is. In this particular case, it's the electric car. Mm-hmm. And now manufacturing is going to stop A and just do only B. And the only reason they're doing it, or like you were touching base on, the state wants to sell no gasoline-powered cars after a date. Why do they do that? Because, in my opinion, why are they saying that? Because there's a million of registered voters, and right now a whole lot of them are all about this all-electric world.
Yeah.
So what do they want to hear?
Yeah.
We are going to clamp down on this, right. And that's exactly right. Where we're going to stay. Right. Can we pull it off? Probably not, but that doesn't matter.
John, don't tell
the voters that. We're just going to sound good this year so we get elected.
When the hackers hijacked that pipeline and there was no gasoline to be bought, the newspapers went in like a couple of weeks later and said, so would you buy an electric car? Well, what do you think they're going to say? Yes. They're going to go, yeah. And I said, well, then all the hackers are going to do is they're going to do what? They're going to hijack your electricity. So not only will you not, you'll be in the dark in your house, but you won't be able to drive your car either. You know?
Yeah, that's the unpleasant, unspoken realities to the situation. Exactly. That, again, the aforementioned people I'm kind of frustrated with don't go two steps down.
No, they haven't thought it through, you know. So think about it through. It's like, you know,
right.
And the other side of it is let's be self-sufficient a little bit. You know, ethanol is an absolutely fantastic
fuel.
Yes,
we've discussed this.
Yeah. So.
And you know what? I mean, it's way too easy for our particular group.
Just to throw spears at
electric
cars.
Not only that, but I'd love to grab a bullhorn and go, could you leave us alone? Because the amount of guys with, like, you know, Ferraris and 69 Camaros and 32 Fords compared to the amount of people there are on the planet, we're not doing it. And you know what? I'll look right at the camera and say it. In my uneducated opinion, we're not even making a blip. Could you just leave us alone and let us run our dumb race engines and do our little thing till you finally extinguish us out?
But you know,
or at least till I'm dead.
But you know why coming after us? Because
everyone
visible.
Needs a scapegoat.
Well, no, because we're visible.
Yeah.
See, where
that's
you,
the same thing as scapegoat. As far as
I
I'm
love
concerned.
The fact that the commercials that you see on TV, whenever they want to try and hype it up and make it look cool, do they pick a Tesla? No, they pick a 69 or a Charger, or
right.
or they pick a 65 Tempest convertible for their heroes to be driving down the road. It's like, why don't you pick a Tesla? And it's like, because it's boring.
Which is great.
That's just it.
Thank you.
My family's gotten into Formula One racing. You know, that Netflix show.
It's fantastic. They do a great job.
Really awesome deal. And even the guys, they were talking to Christian, the guy who was in charge of Red Bull, and he said that the overwhelming amount of Americans who are interested in Formula One because of that show is just beyond belief.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a huge impact.
But the other day, so we were watching Formula One. We record it. We watch it. We watch the practice. We go through the whole thing, and then the sprint race that they had at Silverstone, weird. Which completely bizarre. Anyway, so they go through this whole thing. And then a week later, they had the Formula E race on. Uh-huh. And literally my wife, who was liking the Formula One, which is not – totally in character for her, but she right. loves that show. So it's like, oh, this is awesome. So the Formula E was being run. She goes, what is that sound? And it was the sound of just electric motors spooling up.
Yeah.
And it was like, that is a horrible sound.
As we've said before, or as I've preached before and prattled on, racing is not just numbers.
No.
It's visceral. Yes. You know, and I'm sure every crew chief is like, I don't care what it sounds like. If it cuts a 3 down the quarter mile, I want to be a part of that.
I'm in.
Well,
right.
Well, then you'll be at the track with the other 8 nerds like yourself and all the rest of us that want to feel 10,000 horsepower shaking our guts are going to go bye because right. I again, just for the visceral comment.
Yes.
The speed of light. is boring as hell to watch. I will say that again in case all of you missed it. The speed of light, click, massive instant electrical power, is boring to watch. Your Tesla is boring for me to watch. I don't care if you go to Plaid. Yes. By the way, they took that from Spaceballs. Yeah, that's they've gone to Plet. Watch it. Read a book. So I just, again, I'm not anti. I sound so angry about it, but I'm just so frustrated with it. It's like, just leave our group alone. Just leave us alone. Let us do our little thing that we do. You'll never even know we're here unless you're by the track.
Before, but when Jim McFarland started dealing with California Air Resources Board back in the 70s and early 80s.
I went with him to the Sierra. Yeah,
Yes, and he and it's the and classic line, and he's look, you know, we represent this little thing, you know, we're not even on the map. Yeah.
I said that to the guy at CARB, and he goes, well, I said, well, why are you, because they had all these bar charts on the wall, and I said, what's the deal with the bar charts? He goes, well, I said, where do we fit in there? He goes, well, you kind of don't.
You don't.
Yeah, and I said, why is that? He goes, you're just high profile.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said.
Wait, the line that he said. Say that loud and look at the camera.
Yeah.
You were there.
You're just, yeah, I was talking to the CARB back when in their infancy, this is like 1983 when they were doing the little Surgeon General warning things on there. And he said, you guys are just high profile.
But then the line that he gave McFarland, though, I don't know if it's that guy, but it was another guy, who said,
and nobody knows about that conversation.
Right. Yeah. But the line was nobody will miss you when you're gone.
Yeah.
No one will miss you when you're gone.
Pretty much.
That puts it kind of perspective. So
that's right.
Maybe this went on a little longer than it
did.
No, good stuff.
My mom would say this is important. We need to talk about it. I just pounded on the table and I was reprimanded earlier about that.
I'm sorry. The microphone now, so there we go.
Okay.
So I'm sorry to my sound man for doing that.
Tell us some fun project.
I'll tell you something fun. Right.
Something fun. Automotive. Fun. It can't be. You know.
Making more cuts. Yeah. Well, when I'm just I'm not sure where that voice came from. Well, tonight we can't talk about that. That's band world. That's guitar world tonight.
No, but at the shop.
Guitar world. You're going to guitar world
right now at the shop.
Right now at the shop is almost the same thing you've heard the last few months. We're getting ready for SEMA with a little 72 Scamp, which is a fun, quirky car that it actually came from a Sketchpad article that I did in Hot Rod Magazine. And wow, it's ARP bolts. Yeah.
Blatant.
Yeah, there's a plug.
So anyway, we're getting
that ready for SEMA.
It's like an early... Like
the, yeah, it's what, a Graham McCall. Well, the whole
swinger, right?
Yeah,
right?
The dart swinger.
Dart swinger.
So the Sketchpad was cars... The idea when I did it was cars that are cheap to buy, and then we can make them look cool.
Surprised you found one.
We found a mint one.
Really?
Minty mint.
Marketplace right now.
So somebody really liked it.
I
can say who liked it. It's going to be printed in magazines. It's already been online. It's Bob Florian from ARP owns it. He liked the artwork and said, let's build that. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, the aforementioned John McGann at Hot Rod was like, someone's going to build one of the cars from the drawing?
Right.
Awesome. Yep. In fact, in the new issue out right now, there's about 3 pages on the car. You can follow along with the update and see what we're doing with it. Damn thing.
Yay.
So we're going to...
Small block.
Yeah. Little stroker, little small block. Mm-hmm. We're going to unveil it at SEMA along with the other car that we've been working on forever. Joe Rogan's Nova, which many people saw a couple of years ago on the cover of Hot Rod in bare metal.
Yes.
It's got all the 69 F-body sheet metal on the side. A lot of work on that car. Just finally got color on the thing. And
what color is it?
It is a color called Atomic Silver from Lexus. Okay. A very pretty color. Joe's color choice is silver on a lot of things, so he chose color. That's that. So we are going to be huffing and puffing to bring that car down to SEMA. We'll have it in the Dynamet booth.
Nice.
I'd like to announce the booth that we're going to be with the Scamp, but I am waiting to be told if we have a spot there or not. So, not going to say anything.
Can we do the car guy confessions from the backseat of the Scamp?
Sure.
Okay.
So those two cars, a really, really, really neat, wide flared 71 Corvette. It was a really cool car.
Is this the green one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bunch of different beautiful people car. Want to feature this when it's done. It's really, really cool.
Yep.
And we're going to be having just some other work coming in. We've got a really, really nice, I think, two-owner early 70s Pantera coming in for nice. A bunch of stuff. Actually, the gentleman has three of them.
Nice.
This is the first one coming in.
Three to make one?
No, all three are nice.
Oh, are they? Okay, nice.
And then coming down the pike, we'll be starting probably by the beginning of the year, a really nice 67 Roadster Corvette.
Nice.
A lot of vets. We've had...
And somewhere in the middle of all this, you're going to help me get my high school car back together,
sure.
too.
Yeah, we will. Of course we will.
In your spare time between 2 and 4 a.m.
It's going to be flared and have Pantera parts on it.
We can do it. Won't really fit. Well, we got a welder. Yeah, so we can make that work.
We'll just call it schizophrenia.
With enough time, anything fits.
Sure.
There you go.
So
all kinds of fun
stuff. A big 63 Dodge that was started for another gentleman that has been purchased by somebody else that shall remain nameless at this moment.
That is a lovely car. It is. Yeah.
That car is really cool.
That's been in your shop for a while. It's fun to look at.
And it's neat.
Yeah.
It's got a really cool drivetrain and a really cool suspension under it. And when that thing's done, it's probably going to fight. I mean, I've designed everything that rolled out of the shop, but it's going to fight, I think, for my favorite car. My favorite right now, everyone in the shop has a different opinion, but
63? You say 63?
The Dodge is the 63.
Yeah.
My favorite is the Martini Mustang that I've done. I love everything about that car.
Just one last quick comment. Why is it that all the cars that we thought were just the dumbest things on the road when we were growing up are now cool? And I think the answer is...
Lack of vision.
Okay.
Sounds like
See what I did there?
Or could it be
my company name? And
just kind of.
I thought it was a contract.
So I think what it is just because you don't see them anymore. You just don't see them. So now after you've seen
it in the ground, put a cool color.
Because I'll admit to it. After I've seen the 15th, 65, 66 Chevelle, it's like been there, done that. Yeah. You know, I went to a Chevelle club. Event one time back in the Midwest. This was 30 years ago, and it was a 3-day event, and by maybe it was 2-day event. I mean, Saturday, Sunday, and by the end of Saturday, it was like, get me out of here.
Can't do this again.
I've seen every Chevelle.
I have an answer to that that has been perpetual. It has proven itself over and over within our industry as accepted, but every single time one shows up, it's so rare that everyone's cool. Is the mildly lowered cool set of rims station wagon. The hot rod community and or the surf community have always said free pass, that's cool. It could be a Vista wagon or Vista Cruiser. Lightly lowered and a cool set of rims, you know, and it could be original with like the fake wood grain on the side, and it's like, well, that thing's kind of bitching. Why? Well, I don't know, but you know,
I
follow suit. I'm like, yeah, you're right, that's kind of cool because it's refreshing. You just don't see it, and for some reason dopey station wagons are like, well, no, that's okay. Let him in.
So ultimately, it's your vision of what the future is and what you think is cool. And that's the beauty of hot rodding, right? You can do anything you want. Everything is okay within reason.
Not okay now.
Yeah.
Bad.
Well, you know.
It has to do with execution. I mean, you get a situation where, you know, we can build cars that are badly done and we don't appreciate them. But, you know, when you lay your hands on them, it's crazy. It's just, you know, atrocious how some of the cars go together. And, of course, that's us having a very critical eye for what's going on. But, you know, the situation is like when Steve puts a car together, then you walk around with Steve and you find out all the little nuances that he has integrated into the vehicle that make that car so special and so one of a kind that's why he's so successful in what he does.
And that's why you go to a car show.
Easter egg hunt.
Exactly.
You keep finding little things.
Yes. And that's what car shows are all about. You go to the car show. Why? I mean, appreciate the cars, but really you're looking at all the little details and you run across something and go, like today, just real quick, and then we got to wrap this up.
No, I have a comment before we wrap this up.
Okay, well then go ahead.
No, finish that.
I just ran across Lobach Tools, the little die dimples, and now you can make these dimples for your panels since you put the panels together, and it's a neat little deal. And it's like, I'm not a panel beater at all. It's like, I want that.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Because it's cool.
Right.
Indeed.
Well, tools do that.
So the one time a year that I put two panels together, I can make it look very cool. And it was like, it's affordable. Until I found out that, it's only $169 for the dies. but then you have to have this $1,500 hydraulic press to do a Solomon. It's like, oh, well, maybe not. Maybe
not. You just roll it over with your truck.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That'll press that shit. And with ARP, it's not just a lot of intake manifolds, studs for heads, but they also have a humongous selection of American and metric that we use all throughout the car, even large bolts that we use on the suspension components, because you want that same strength, that same durability and reliability, plus the beautiful looks.
And the stuff outside the catalog.
Right. They have a special order program where if you're a builder and you need some special stuff made, they can do that for you. So it's an amazing, amazing company to work with.
So check them out at arp-bolts.com or check out their catalog. You'll find everything you're looking for.
It always drove me crazy. Long before I had Pure Vision, when I was Steve in Apple Lake in New York, yeehaw. And I was reading religiously my Hot Rod magazine. And I would read, I don't think we've talked about this on the show, but I know I've talked with you and you as editors on this particular subject matter. And it drove me crazy as Joe Reeder, not guy that owns a shop. Again, we clear? Long before I had a shop, I would read the letters that you guys would get. People wrote letters. They did. They wrote them.
What did they use?
They mailed it with a stamp. Crazy cavemen. So, and they would complain about all the high dollar cars. I can't understand that. I can't grasp that. I can't spend that kind of money. You know, why aren't you showing more real world cars? Okay, so I'll tell you my opinion on that as the 18-year-old, 20-year-old in Apple Lake in New York. I lit up over that. I was like, if I want to see boring crap, I'll go down to the Wendy's on Main Street in Binghamton, New York, and see the boring 5-liter Mustangs that all run, you know, 13s. And I spent all the money I had, saved up all year to go to Canfield, Ohio, to go to the Supernats, so I could see the coolest of the cool. Right. And I don't know what y'all are doing, but I'm picking up ideas.
Yes, exactly.
Seemed to work out pretty good for me, huh?
Yes.
I got cool ideas from the greatest people, like I've said before, my heroes, like Scott Sullivan, Matt and Debbie Hay, Mark Grimes. Again, read a book. You'll find their names. And just great guys. And these were cats at home.
Yeah, they were.
They had no
pro
shops.
Scott's garage is barely wider than this table.
And he's for a while, wasn't it at his mom's house?
It was his dad's house.
Right.
It still is.
Fine.
It still is.
There you go. See, same thing. So I never understood, and to this day, even be a shop that has expensive cars, I've never understood the negativity towards that, because I want to see the cool. Believe me, when Rad Rides comes out with a car,
you want to see it.
I'm looking all over that thing. You want to know why? Because he's awesome. And the guys who work there are at the top of the game.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that, whatever that is. Who cares? I don't care if you can afford it or not. How about go beyond your, you know, what are you doing? Why would you watch TV? Well, they can produce a show I can never produce. You're right. But why do you watch it then?
Because
that costs, I hate to tell you how much money a TV show costs.
Wrap this up real quickly and kind of put a little bow on that.
I'm like all fired.
Yeah, you are. He's all wound up. It's all wound up. Yeah. So when we would get those letters, you would kind of take them to heart. As a young editor, I'm thinking, okay, well, yeah, I'm going to give them more basic cars, right? Reader's Rides and stuff. Boring as hell. And nobody, and then our sales dropped. So it's like, okay. That one percenter guy, you know, he doesn't really, and everybody else feels just like you did. So yeah, that was, and so what we learned was,
stuff.
Yes, you know, because if you want to be like, if you want to
buying this, I want to see something that interests me and makes me go, wow.
Right.
Not, why would I buy it?
You don't go to the national pro, I know nothing about golf, but the national pro things to watch some guy miss 17 putts that are this long.
But if you,
you don't, but you go watch
you
the pros.
Yes.
So, but you go to watch the pros. Play why? Because they're so good,
and they make it look easy.
Yep.
Right.
So we make this look easy, don't we?
I think we do.
So it might look like we're wrapping this thing up,
except
because
I'm feisty.
Yeah. So
I like you when you're feisty.
Yeah, yeah. So this went by really fast, fast. So
yeah, that was
and
like,
it usually does when you know you get passionate about
yeah,
something
I,
and
yeah,
you want to talk about it. So we won't bore you with anything else.
I'm
going
to
really appreciate the guys at ARP helping us put this whole thing together because we couldn't do it without them.
How can you find those guys?
At arp-bolts.com. How about that? The first time out, you know, I go at home at night and practice.
You do like the chess woman who does it on the ceiling.
About the time this really gets, I'll really get good at it, we'll stop doing this.
No, we're not stopping. So don't stop.
Really appreciate these guys helping us out and all our other sponsors.
You bet.
We're having a good time, and as long as you guys keep watching this thing, we're going to keep helping you do this and watch and see what we're doing. And I should probably stop talking now.
Thanks for your patience with me today.
That's fine. Very good. Sign off.